Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome to today's Daf Yomi, which is Maseches Erevin, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Mavoi, Shehu Gavoya Lamalam Esrim Amo Yimait. What is a Mavoi? It's an alleyway, it's an access road to Rishus HaRavim. So there would be houses, which are batim, sitting in the courtyards, which are the chatzeros. Generally, there were several courtyards which channeled their traffic through this mavi, through this alleyway, in order to access the Rishus HaRavim, which lie beyond it. So technically, this mavi, which is surrounded by walls on three sides, is a Rishus HaYachid. So min HaTorah, one can carry throughout this mavi without hesitation. However, midrabanan, there was a concern that perhaps some confusion will arise. One will say to himself, well, if I can carry in this mavi, which is adjacent to Rishus HaRavim, why can't I carry in the Rishus HaRavim as well? So the Chachamim were concerned about that, and they required some sort of tikkun, a hechsher mavi, a physical adjustment, which is meant to be applied to the entranceway of the mavi to show that it's separate, to indicate its separateness from Rishus HaRavim. It's a separate makam, a separate Rishus. What type of hechsher mavi is needed? Either lechi or kair. Lechi is a side post, a board, or even a stick, which is affixed to the entranceway of the mavi, to the side, to the wall at the entranceway to the mavi, or a kaira, which is a crossbeam running over the entranceway to the mavi. This is going to call attention to the separateness of the mavi from Rishus HaRavim, to indicate to all that this mavi is not Rishus HaRavim, it's a Rishus HaYachid. This explains why we carry within it. Says the Mishnah, mavi shehu gavoya. You might. What if the mavi was built in a way where when the kaira, when this crossbeam is placed above the entranceway, it's going to be above 20 amis. So the space, the gap from the floor below up to the bottom of this kaira, so the actual gap of the entranceway will be higher than 20 amis. Says the Mishnah, that's not effective. You might. You must make sure to minimize that height. You must bring down the kaira. One reason can be because this is too—it's too high to be considered a pesach, a true entranceway. It's considered to be a breach. We regard the mavi and the Rishus HaRavim as though they're meshed with each other. There's nothing separating them. This is not a doorway. It's not an entranceway to separate the two areas. It's too large to be considered a pesach. Or another pshat would be that this kaira is meant to call attention to the separateness of the mavi. It's meant to be visible within a person's field of vision. When it's too far high up, it's not really clearly noticeable. It's not really so visible. Therefore, it doesn't accomplish what it's meant to do. So the Tanakhama holds that if it's too high up, you must bring it down. There's no need to bring it down. The Gemara will explain the reason of this machlekes. Continues the Mishnah. What about the width of the entranceway to the mavi? How wide may it be? If it's wider than 10 amis, that is considered to be a breach. That's not considered to be a proper entranceway, which is considered a pesach entity, a doorway, an entranceway, which will accomplish that separation, that partitioning between the Rishus HaRavim and the mavi. It's too wide to be considered a pesach. It's considered a piritza, a breach, like a broken wall. Therefore, it doesn't accomplish what it's meant to do. You must make sure that it's not wider than 10 tefach. However, if this entranceway features a tzuras ha-pesach, which is a structure which resembles a doorway, so it would be a pole on either side with a pole going across from one to the other, that resembles a doorpost on either side, doorpost on top, so it has a tzuras ha-pesach. So in and itself, it's regarded like a door, like as though it's a complete partition. And that accomplishes more than just merely an opening. That is treated halachically as though it's completely closed off. And therefore, says the Mishnah, af al pi shu rochav me'ese amis, even if this entranceway is wider than 10 amis, ein tzorach lamayit, there's no concern, he doesn't need to make it smaller. Because this tzuras ha-pesach accomplishes a closure. We view it as though there's a wall there. Because it's considered to be like doors. It's part of a doorway. So regardless of its size, of how wide it is, there's no concern. And incidentally, that's how we do the eruvs today, around cities, around neighborhoods. We do tzuras ha-pesach, which is the pole on either side with a wire running across. and that is regarded as though it's a mechitza, a partition, which encloses the area within. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, who gives us the proper background for this Mishnah. Starting all the way on top, Mavisho Gavoya. What does this mean? Shenichu Sakira. They place the beam, Lamala Mesrim Amma, above 20 Amas. The Kira Zu, Lahater Lataltal Seichaba. The Kira here is coming to allow carrying within the Mavi. Explains Rashi. Dimidai Raisa. Itzar, Hoytsos, which is a Rabbin. Minatari, one cannot carry out into actual Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos. Umayi Rosh Hashanah, what is considered Minatari Rosh Hashanah? Sratya, which is a highway, Uplatik Doyla, a large town square. Kedamarim Perkitzias HaShabbos, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos. Shedoyim L'Digli Midbar. So these areas resemble the Rosh Hashanah which was found, which was present when the Yisrael were camping in the Midbar. The Komil of the Shabbos, the Mishkan Gaminim. All the laws of Shabbos are sourced in the Mishkan. And what took place when they camped in the Midbar? And we find that the Rosh Hashanah featured the following. Vagol Shalavim, Beroichav Yudvav Amma Azli. The wagons which the Levim used to transport the Mishkan would travel in a road which was 16 Amas wide, Kedamar and Bazarik. Hilkach, so we deduce from there, Lo Yehav Rosh Hashanah Batsu Miyud Vavama. We learn from there that Rosh Hashanah needs to have a minimum of 16 Amma, Miyud Vavama Reichav. Umufulish Beit Stadim. It needs to be open on both sides. It needs to be a thoroughfare. Aval Mavi Katsur. But this Mavi discussed in our Mishnah is narrow. Vein Rochav Yud Vavama. It's not 16 Amma wide, so it's lacking that condition. Vinami Rochavu. Even if it's a very wide alleyway, it's lacking the other condition. Ein Mufulish. It's not open. It's not a through street. One side indeed is open to Rosh Rabbim, but the other side is closed off. Says Rashi, do you have a mafulish? Because if not so, if it would be open on both sides, lo you have a mystery, b'koira. A koira would not permit carrying within it. Because I mean, b'gemara, as the Gemara will tell us later. So once we conclude that this mavi doesn't fit the criterion of Rosh Rabbim, the keeping the law of Rosh Rabbim, you can carry through it without any concern, without any adjustment. Decreed not to carry within this, since it's adjacent to Rabbim, it's in close proximity to Rabbim, there's a concern that if you carry within this, one will confuse things and carry in even the Rabbim. Chacham did allow carrying within it, if you did a tikkun, if you adjusted it with a lechi or a kaira, to lahavi a kaira, this will provide that clarity, that indication, to loy lesi lemishi shesuram gemura. So one will not come to carry in a bona fide shesuram. So if it's too high up, you might yashbu. You must bring down that kaira of a tam and farish gemura. The gemara will explain. So this is regarding the height of the entranceway. What about the width? If it's wider than 10 amas, he must minimize that. This is the shear of your typical standard Pesach. It needs to be 10 amas or less. If it's wider, it doesn't have a halachic status of a Pesach, of an entranceway merely. It's a breach. It's a broken wall. And we require a Pesach, which will indeed be considered that partition, that make that separation between Rosh Hashanah and the Mavi. You can't merely have a broken area. It needs to be an entranceway. So when you're approaching that Mavi, you see, well, I'm about to enter a Mavi. It needs to have a din of a Pesach. V'tzorach linetz konim, l'mayit rechav knisasa. So if it's too wide, how are you going to minimize it? You're going to insert some poles at the sides to minimize the width, ulamidal esral apachais, to have it result in either 10 or less than 10 amis. But if you have a tzurasa Pesach, which is a doorway structure, then regardless of the width, you're okay. What is a Tzuras HaPesach? Lechi mikan v'lechi mikan v'koira al gabeim, a pole on either side with a pole running across. Continues the Mishnah. Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah in Sukkah. Sukkah shi gavoy l'malim esrim amba. If a Sukkah is higher than 20 amas, meaning the schach is higher than 20 amas, and the gap between the bottom of the schach and the floor below is higher than 20, the sukkah is invalid. Why? Because we're meant to have it within 20 amas. The Gemara sukkah gives us various reasons. One of them is that one is meant to actually notice the schach. When we sit in the sukkah, we're meant to notice the schach and pay attention to it. So within 20 amas, still considered within our field of vision. So if it's higher than that, it's puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, he says it's okay. Says the Gemara, we have a wording problem. Why is there a discrepancy between the wording chosen by the Tana in Maseches Sukkah? He says if it's higher, it's puzzle, psula. Whereas by us, the Mishnah says, if it's higher than 20, you might. He gives us constructive advice. Bring it down. He doesn't merely say that it's disqualified. Maishno gabi sukkah tani psula. Why by sukkah do we find the lashon psula? The gabi mavi tani takanta. When it comes to mavi in our Mishnah, the Tana gives us a takanta, a positive advice on how to rectify a situation. Why this difference in language? Says the Gemara, the reason is sukkah d'oraisa. Sukkah, which is minat Torah, meaning it's based on the pasuk. The reason why the schach can't be too high is because of that reason mentioned before. The pasuk says l'man yedud erasechem, so it's based on the Torah shebichsav. Therefore, the Brisa says, well, the Mishnah says, well, if you don't conform, it's pasul. If you don't construct your sukkah according to the guidelines based in the Torah, the sukkah is no good. Tani psula. So therefore, the Mishnah tells you, if you didn't conform, it's possible. Mavi d'rabbanan. But in our case, where we're speaking about something which is introduced and acted by the Chachamim, so here they're telling us, in the halacha in the first place, they're introducing it to us, they're teaching it to us. It's not fitting for them to say, well, if you don't conform, it's possible. What am I meant to do? Please teach me. So therefore, the Mishnah by us actually tells us the halacha and tells us how to do it properly. Mavi d'rabbanan tani takanta. So here the Mishnah gives us the advice on how we're meant to do it. So sukkah, which is based on the Torah shebichsav, which is something previously known, so the Mishnah is simply saying, well, if you don't conform with the pasuk, you're puzzle. It's something you're meant to know. But the Mishnah here is simply introducing us to the whole concept. You should know mid'rabbanan, there's a requirement to make a koyre lechi. And if it's too high, bring it down. It's giving us practical, sound advice and instruction how to proceed. So that's the first teretz of the Gemara. V'boyisema. Another teretz. D'oraisa nami tani takanta. Even when we're speaking about a din which is contained in the Torah shebichsav, it would also be fitting, perhaps, for the Mishnah to give us the takana, the practical advice on how to do it properly. Why then does the Mishnah sukkah simply say psula? Ella, rather, sukkah than a fish and milay. That Mishnah and sukkah, which contains many halachas, Mishnah there tells us how many walls the sukkah is meant to have, how high it's meant to be, how thick the schach is meant to be. So it would be too lengthy to go into all details and give us constructive advice on how to do it properly. Pasuk v'tani psula. So the Mishnah just states the halacha clearly and briefly. If you don't conform, if it's too high, if it doesn't have the proper amount of walls, the schach is not properly laid, it's possible. So it's a clear and brief way of relating halacha, rather than going to great detail. Well, if it's too high, bring it down. If you don't have sufficient walls, build a wall. And one is meant to teach Torah in a very brief and clear language. Rashi brings the Gemara in Pesachim. Lo ilu mishan adam letalmidoi derech tzara. Meant to be brief and to the point. However, by Mavi in our Mishnah, Mavi delay nefishimile, where there are not too many halachas contained in our Mishnah, so it's more practical indeed, for the Mishnah to give us advice, Tani Takanta, the Mishnah gives us a Takana, how am I to proceed? If it's too wide, bring it down. And the Sefer of the Mishnah tells us, if it's too wide, minimize the width of the doorway. Continues the Gemara. Let's get back to our Mishnah. The Tanakhama maintains, if it's above 20, you're puzzle, you have to bring it down. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no concern, even if it's above 20, the Koyer is kosher. Now, what is the basis for their Shittes? Amar Vida Marav. Chachamim leilamdua elam epischa shel heichal. Chachamim derived their shita, their opinion, from the doorway, from the entranceway to the heichal. And they applied the dimensions of the Pesach of the heichal, which was the inner building of the Beis HaMikdash. The same dimensions that entranceway featured, we're going to apply to our Mavi. That indicates to us that these dimensions are status, have a halacha, are categorized as the dimensions of a proper Pesach. So Chachamim learned the halacha, the dimensions of the Pesach Heichel. Rabbi Yehuda lo ilamda ela epischa shel ulam. He derived from the entranceway to the ulam, which was actually larger than the Heichel. That's not as we learned. Pischa shel heichal. The entrance way to the heichal, gavei esrim hama, was 20 amas high, v'roch vei esa amas, and was 10 amas wide. And this is the source of the Rabbanon. So a proper doorway, a proper entranceway is meant to be 20 amas high, no more than 20 amas high, and 10 amas wide. Vishal ulam, the entranceway of the ulam, which was the room leading into the heichal, this anteroom, which had a much larger entranceway, gavay arbaim amas, was 40 amas high, v'rochvay esrim amas, and 20 amas wide. So Chachamim derived their dimensions from the entranceway to the pes to the of the heichal, and the Rabbi Yehuda learns from the pesach of the ulam. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says even if it's above 20, it's still okay. Now, what is this based on? Why did the Rabbanan prefer learning from the heichal and Rabbi Yehuda from the ulam? Says the Gemara, we have an explanation for that too. Ushnei mikra echad darshu. They both base their opinions on the same pasuk. V'shachtoi pesach oil mayid. The Torah, at the beginning of Vayikra, tells us, so he shechted the shlomim at the entranceway of the oil moed. Now the oil moed was the inner area of the Mishkan, the covered, the tented area, where the mizbeach was, where the menorah was. So that corresponded to the heichal in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, the Rabbanon Savri, Rabbanon figured like this, Kedushas heichal l'chud, the sanctity, the status of the heichal in the Beis HaMikdash, is considered on its own level of Kedusha. U'kedushas ulam l'chud. And the Kedusha of the entrance area to the Eichel has its own status. Meaning you can't do the service, the avoida that's meant to be done in the Eichel. You can't do it in the Ulam. They both have different categories of Kedusha. V'chiksev Pesach Oyel Moed. So now when this Pasuk tells us, V'shochtei Pesach Oyel Moed, at the entranceway of the Oyel Moed, we're speaking about the Eichel. Specifically, the any area, the chiksev pesach oil moed a heichal ksev. So we see that the Torah labels the entranceway to the heichal, to the oil moed, which corresponds to the heichal, as a pesach. So we learn from there that the concept of pesach, just as by the heichal was 20 by 10, we applied here as well that the dimensions of a proper pesach is no more than 20 by 10. So that's the sheet of the Rabbanan. That the pasuk v'shachtei pesach, the entranceway of Eil Moed, is specifically referring to the heichal, but not to the ulam, which has its own level of kedusha unrelated to the heichal. For Yehuda Savar, he holds heichal ulam kedusha achasi. The heichal and the ulam, the entrance area to the heichal, have the same level of kedusha, have the same status. V'chiksev pesach Eil Moed. So when the pasuk says v'shachtei pesach Eil Moed, the word Eil Moed. It's referring to both the Heichal and the Ulam, because the Oyel Moed again is referring to the tented area, the place where they put the Menorah and the Mizbeach, HaPnimi, etc. in the Mishkan, and corresponding to that in the Beis HaMikdash, the permanent structure in Shalayim, was the Heichal and also the Ulam, which is one and the same, which have the same Kedusha, have the same status as each other. So the Pesach Oyel Moed can be referring either to the entranceway of the Heichal or the entranceway to the Ulam. So we can apply the dimensions of the ulam. We can derive from there to establish the proper dimensions of a Pesach. Because we see that Torah relates to that entranceway as a Pesach. Pesach Oyel Moed. So we know from there that a proper entranceway could be above 20 amas. Can be like the ulam, which was 40 high and 20 wide. Vibo Isem, another pshat. Rabbi Yehuda Nami. Kedushas Ulam Lechud, Kedushas Heichal Lechud. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that the Kedusha of the Heichal and Kedusha of the Ulam are considered to be two separate levels, unrelated. And therefore we cannot learn from that pasuk mentioned earlier, which is referring to the Oyel Moed, which corresponds to the Heichal, which doesn't relate to the Ulam, which has its own level of Kedusha. So where is the source of Rabbi Yehuda? V'hachu hanatayim at Rabbi Yehuda. And here, this will be the reason of Rabbi Yehuda. Tichsiv al Pesach Ulam HaBayis. This is another pasuk in Yecheskel, where we see that the Torah refers to the entranceway of the Ulam, of this anteroom, of this entrance room to the Heichal, as a Pesach, al Pesach Ulam HaBayis. So we see that the term Pesach applies even to a larger entranceway, even above 20 Amis. Says the Mordechai Rabbanan, the Rabbanan responds to this by saying, you can't learn from the Iyavak Kasav. El Pesach Ulam, if the Pasuk would indeed say El Pesach Ulam, Kedaka Amras, then you would be right. We see Pesach relates to Ulam. Hashta dechsev El Pesach Ulam HaBayis. Now that the Torah, the Pasuk, is stated a bit differently. Al Pesach Ulam HaBayis. You know what it means to say? HaBayis HaPasuach Ulam. It means the entranceway of the Bayis, meaning the Heichal, which is Pasuach Ulam, which is open to the Ulam in front of it. But certainly the word Pesach is relating to the entranceway of the Heichal, and not to the Ulam. So in summary, Rabbi Yehuda learns from Ulam, and the Chachamim learn from Pesach Heichal. Says the Gemara, one second. This Pasuk mentioned earlier, V'shachtai, Pesach Oyel Moed. They went to Shech the Shlomim, at the entranceway of the Oyel Moed, and from there we learn that Pesach either refers to the entranceway of the Ulam, or the entranceway to the Heichal, or the Beis HaMikdash. This Pasuk is not related to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, rather to the Mishkan. Now the Mishkan, number one, didn't have an Ulam. Number two, the height of the Mishkan was no more than 10 Amis. The Krushim only 10 Amis high. So how can we learn from there 20 Amis or 40 Amis? Says the Mubahaki, Ksiv Hai, B'Mishkan Ksiv. This Pasuk is describing the Mishkan. How can that be applied to the Beis HaMikdash? Says the no problem. Ashkechon Mishkan, Ikri Mikdash. We find indeed that the word Mikdash, the description Mikdash, can be applied to Mishkan as well. So Mishkan is called Mikdash, and the same in the reverse. U'Mikdash Dikri Mishkan. We find that the Beis HaMikdash, the permanent structure was related to as Mishkan. The two terms are interchangeable, and the Mishkan and Mikdash are very much related to each other. The same concepts and halachas that apply to one will apply to the other. So the term V'shachtai Pesach Oyel Moed, even though technically referring to the Mishkan, is meant to be applied to the Beis HaMikdash as well. And therefore we can learn from the dimensions, from the Pesach, of either the Heichal or the Ulam of the Beis HaMikdash. Dilei Teima Hachi, because if you don't agree with this, meaning I'll prove to you that this concept is true, that the two concepts, the two terms, Mikdash and Mishkan, are related to each other. Dilei Teima Hachi. How are you going to explain the following halacha? Ha, Damar Vidamar Shmuel. Shlomim Sheshachtan Koidem Psichas Dalsas Heichal. Psulin. So the shlamim that was shechted before they opened the doorways of the Heichal. So this shlamim is pasul. Shenemar, v'shachtai Pesach oil moed. And we learn from there, bezman shepsuchen, only if the doors are actually open. V'lo bezman shenulim, but not when the doorway to the Heichal is closed. How can we apply this halacha to the doorways of the Heichal? V'haki ksiv, ha'i b'mishkan ksiv. That pasul is related to the Mishkan, and not to the Heichal. Ella, so you see from there, Ashichan Mikdash, the Ikri Mishkan. We find that the Mikdash is related to as Mishkan, and the same halachas that apply to the Mishkan will apply to the Beis HaMikdash. And the same in the reverse, U Mishkan, the Ikri Mikdash. That a Mishkan can be related to, can be called Mikdash. Taisus explains that the halachas applied to the Beis HaMikdash will apply to the Mishkan as well. You can't build it on Shabbos. One must treat it with the same respect as the Beis HaMikdash, not enter with the dust on one's feet, which we learn from the Beis HaMikdash to the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, how do you know this? That these terms are related and can be exchanged, are interchangeable. Mishlam and Mikdash Ikri Mishkan. So it's all well regarding Mikdash. But we find that the Torah relates to as Mishkan. Dechsiv. Hashem tells us I'm going to establish my Mishkan amongst you. Now we see from there that the Beis HaMikdash is called Mishkan. How do we know? Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Two lines from the bottom. V'nasati Mishkan b'seichem, says Rashi. Evidently, the term Mishkan here is in reference to the Beis HaMikdash. How do I know? Ukshenema mikro zeh, when this pasuk was said, Farukim HaMishkan, the Mishkan was already constructed. Sharei b'teres kahanim nichtav, was written in Parshas Vayikra. V'chol oisei ha'seifal. Be'oil moyed nemar. And all that, the entire Sefer of Vayikra was said in the oil moyed, in the Mishkan. K'dechsiv v'aydab ha'ashem elav me'oil moyed. So v'al eize Mishkan ha'yim avtichan oid. What do you mean? Hashem's saying, I'm going to establish my Mishkan. The Mishkan is already built and standing. If not for the Beis HaMikdash, meaning apparently he's referencing the Beis HaMikdash using a term Mishkan. So we see that Mishkan can describe the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a given. What about in the reverse? Ella, says the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Ella Mishkan Dikri Mikdash Minola. What do we find that the Mishkan was called Mikdash, and the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash will apply to the Mishkan as well. Is it from the following pasuk? So the members of the Kohas family, they traveled Noisei HaMikdash, who carried the Mikdash, and the Levim would erect the Mishkan prior to their arrival. So we see that they're carrying the Mishkan, and the Torah refers to them as carrying the Mikdash. So we see that the Mishkan is described with the term Mikdash. Says the Gemara, no, that's not right. Ahu ba'arangsiv. The reason why the pasuk relates to them as carrying the Mikdash because they were carrying the Arayin. As Rashi says, Shu mikudash mishar masois. It was the holiest of all the loads. So it's referring to the Arayin. But we have no right here that the entire Mishkan is referred to with the term Mikdash. Elo miyocha, rather from this pasuk, ba'oshli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'soich, Hashem says, they will erect for me a Mikdash, which is the Mishkan, v'shachanti b'soich, and I'll dwell within them. So you see clearly the term Mikdash in reference to the Mishkan. So let's make a quick conclusion, a brief summary up to this point in the Gemara. We have in the Mishnah that the height of the Kaira must be within 20 amos according to Tanakama. The reader says, no concern, even if it's higher, it's fine. Now, what is the basis of the machlekes? Rav explained for us, Chachamim and Rav Yudah both learn from the Beis HaMikdash. The Chacham learned from the Heichal, Rav Yudah learns from the Ulam. The Gemara told us we have a pasuk, V'shachti Pesach Oil Moed, where we see that the term Pesach, entranceway, is referenced in context of the entranceway to the Heichal. Chachamim learn from the Pesach of the Heichal, because they say that apparently Pesach Oil Moed is referring specifically to the Heichal, which is a separate Kedusha from the Ulam. You can't learn from the Ulam. Pesach Oil Moed is referring to the inner area, to the Heichal specifically, and the Heichal was 20 amas high. So you can't go past that if you want to have a halachically valid Pesach. Which Rav Yudah says, the Heichal and Ulam are one Kedusha. So Pesach Oil Moed can be in reference to either the Heichal or the Ulam. They're considered to be one entity. So we choose to learn from the Ulam, which was 40 amas high. We have another pshat in the Gemara that Rav Yudah learns from a different pasuk in Yecheskel, El Pesach Ulam HaBayis, which indicates that even the Pesach of the Ulam is described as a proper Pesach. Indeed, this is the source of Rav Yudah, who allows the entranceway to the Mavi to be higher than 20 amas. Continues the Gemara. Okay, now Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Rav Yudah, we have a kash regarding the width of the doorway of the entranceway to the Mavi. The Mishnah told us it needs to be a maximum of 10 amas wide. Says, well, we have a problem with that. Because Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Rav Yudah, according to all shittas, why can't we have a wider entranceway? Lilfu mi Pesach Shara Chatzar. Why can't we learn? Why can't they learn from the entranceway of the Shara Chatzar, the gateway to the courtyard which surrounded the Mishkan, which was wider than 10 amas? It was actually 20 amas wide. The Chsiv, as the Pasuk says, Oyrach HaChatzar, what was the length of the courtyard around the Mishkan? Me'a ba'ama, 100 amas long. V'roichav, Chamishim b'chamishim. And it was 50 amas wide. The koyim b'chamish amas, 5 amas high. So the partition was 5 amas high. Uksiv, now let's analyze. How wide was the entranceway to this chatzar? So speaking about the Pesach, which was on the east side of the chatzar, the Pesach describes it as follows. On both sides of the Pesach, there were the partitions, which were 15 amas wide. So we have 50 amas wide in total. And we have 15 amas of partition on either side of the Pesach. So 50 minus 15 and 15. 15 and 15 is 30. So minus that, take the 50 and minus 30, leaves us with 20, a gap of 20, which constituted the opening, the entranceway to the Chatzar. So we see that an entranceway, a Pesach, can even be wider than 10 amas. Let's see inside. Again, says the Gemara, Bein L'Rabbanan, on the second line, Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Rav Yudah, according to all Shittas, Le'elfu mi-Pesach Shara Chatzar. Why can't we learn from the entrance way to the Chatzar? The Chsiv, Erech HaChatzar, Me'a Ba'ama, was 100 amas long. Roichav, Chamishim b'Chamishim, 50 amas wide, V'Kamei Chamish Amos, 5 amas tall. Uksiv, V'Chamish Esrei Amah Kloim, L'Kasif. There was Kloim, which are these sheets, which were the partitions. So, L'Kasif means on one side of the entranceway, it was 15 amas wide. Uksiv, L'Kasif HaShenis. And same thing on the other side of the entranceway. Mizeo, Mizeo, Shara Chatzer, Kloim, Chamish Esrei Amah. We have 15 amas on the other side as well. That leaves us with 20 in the middle. So why can't we learn from the Amala Halam? Just as over there, Chamish Berichav Esrim was 5 amas high with a width of 20, Afkan here as well by Yamafi. Chamesh Berech of Esrim. So we can allow a entranceway to be 20 amas wide. Says Mar, no, you can't learn from there. Pesach Sha'ar HaChatzer Ikri. The Torah refers to that entranceway as the opening of the Sha'ar HaChatzer, the gateway to the Chatzer. Pesach Stomala Ikri. The Torah doesn't refer to it as a just plain Pesach. It's merely an access to this outdoor area. It's just an opening to an outdoor area. It doesn't constitute an entity on its own. It's not a true Pesach. It's Pesach Sha'ar HaChatzer. It's the opening to the gateway of the outdoor area of the courtyard. Whereas by Mavi, we need a true Pesach, which accomplishes that separation. We need an entity. We need this doorway, so to speak. We need this a entity on its own. So that one approaches the Mavi, he says, well, okay, now I'm entering this entranceway. And this calls attention to its separateness from the Shusarabim. So if it's too wide, it doesn't constitute a true Pesach. So we can't learn from the Chatzer. So it's Pesach Sha'ar HaChatzer Ikri, but Pesach Stam Aloy Ikri. V'ba'isema, another pshat, you're miscalculating. The doorway there as well was not 20 amas wide. It was actually much less. Kiksev Kloim Chomesh Esri Amo Lekosev. When the Pesach describes the Kloim, the sheets, the partitions on either side of the entranceway of the Chatzer, it doesn't mean 15 amas wide. It means their height. Begoivu Dechsev. It's referring to their height. So they were 15 amas tall. But the entranceway, we don't know how wide it was. Perhaps it was only 10 amas wide. Perhaps the partitions on either side were wider than 15, which would leave us with less than 20 amas for the entranceway. Says, how could you say that? Goiva. It's referring to their height. The pasuk specifically tells us that the height of the partitions was 5 amas. Says the Gemara, ahu. Now the Bach changes the Girsa, Rashi as well, and we're meant to read as follows: Ahu misfas kloim ulemata. Means like this: that when the pasuk describes the height of the partition as 5 amos, it means in addition to those 15. So the standard height all around the chatzah was 5 amos. The kloim, the partitions which were situated on the east side near the entranceway, were higher than the rest of the partition, the rest of the machitzes. They were 15 amos. And when the pasuk says v'koyma chomish amis, 5 amis, it means below that 15. So it really means that it was 15 amis higher than the rest of the surrounding mechitzes, so for a total of 20 amis. In any case, we're not discussing width, we're discussing height. We don't know how wide those sides of the entranceway were. Perhaps it only left us a small area for the entranceway, no wider than 10 amis. Okay, so we address the Pesach of the Chatzer and why we can't learn from there. Getting back to Rav's explanation of the Machlokes, between the Tanakam who learns, between the Chacham who learned from the Pesach Hechel, which was no higher than 20 Amos, and no wider than 10 Amos, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is learning from the Pesach Ulam, which was 40 high and 20 wide. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda Pesach Shul Ulam Gamar, does he learn from the Pesach of the Ulam? But we haven't learned in the Mishnah. If the entranceway to the Mavi is wider than 10 Amos, you have a problem. It's a breach, it's a piritza. You have to make that smaller. You have to be mamayit. Because the maximum is 10 amas. For like Paul, Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree with that? If he's learning from the Ulam, the Ulam's dimension was 40 by 20. So we see that a legally valid entranceway can have a dimension of 20. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree? Amar Abaye, he does disagree. Polig bebraisa, he disagrees in the braisa. So the Braisa generally expounds and goes into greater detail in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda already disagreed regarding the height. I want to imply from there that he disregards the width as well because he's learning from the Ulam. As we see in the Braisa, he clearly stipulates that. The Sanyas went to the Braisa, V'rocham Yud Amis Yimayit. If the entranceway to the Mavi is wider than 10, he must make it smaller. This is the sheet of the Chachamim who learned from Hechel. There's no need to make it smaller because he learns from the Ulam. And the Ulam was 20 wide. But live like Masnissen, why doesn't he argue? Why isn't he chalik in the Mishnah clearly? In the Mishnah, he disputes the height. And the same concept applies to the width. Because if he's disagreeing with the height, apparently his makar is from the Ulam. His opinion is sourced in the Ulam, which was 40 high. We want to learn from there regarding the width as well, which can be up to 20. Says Mavakati, and even so, can you say Rabbi Yehuda mipischa shul ulam gamar, that he's learning from the ulam? V'atanya. We learned in the Brisa, Mavi Shogavaya, Michaf Ama Yemait. If the Mavi, the entranceway, is higher than 20, he must make it smaller. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, he permits Ad Mem V'nun Amma, until 40, 50 Amas high. V'tani Bar Kapara, and Bar Kapara had a different version in Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Meya, even up to 100 Amas high. Says the Mavi to analyze, how could Rabbi Yehuda get so high? B'shleim Ad Bar Kapara Guzma. Now let's assume that Bar Kapara, who says the number 100, he's merely using a grand term. It's like an exaggeration. Since Rabbi Yehuda allows higher than 20, up to 30, up to 40, so he says, look, up to 100. But he really didn't mean technically up to 100. That's how we can assume, we can interpret Bar Kapara's words. Because really, it can't go past 40. Since Rabbi Yehuda learns from the Ulam, which was 40 high. So that's not really a kasha. The wording of Bar Kapara is not really difficult. Elo the Rabbi Yehuda. But if we take a look at the words of Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, who says up to 40 and 50, my guzma, doesn't appear to be an exaggeration. He's being very specific, up to 40, up to 50. Now how could he go past 40 if he learns from the Ulam? Says the Gemara, Bishleima, Rabbi Yehuda Arboim, we understand how up to 40, Goma Pischa Shalom, because he learned from the Ulam, which was 40 high. Elo Nun Manali. How does he know to allow the entranceway to be up to 50? So if we maintain Rabbi Yehuda's source is the Ulam, how can we allow such a grand entranceway to the Mav? So this is a kash on Rav. Amar Rav Chizda, you should know that Rav apparently made a mistake. Ha masnisa, the following brisa at Isay l'Rav, misled Rav into thinking that the source of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is based on the Ulam. It's not really so. It's based elsewhere, which indeed would allow him to make a very large entranceway. Which brisa are we speaking? The Sanya Mavi Shu Gavoy Mechaf Amma, Yoyisim Epischa Shalechel. If the Mavi is higher than 20, which is greater than the opening to the Hechel, he might. He must bring down that beam. And this is the Shita of the Tanakhama. Rav learned this brisa as follows. Hu Sava, Rav figured, Midi Rabbonon, Epischa Shalechel Gambi, from the fact that we see the Rabbonah clearly connecting to the Pesach of the Hechel. The brisa states that pretty clearly, that if the Mavi is higher than 20, which is greater than the Pesach Shel Hechel, it's no good. Apparently their source is the Hechel. Now, we're meant to move over to Rehuda and imply as follows, that Rehuda preferred to learn from the Ulam rather than the Hechel. So they're learning from the Hechel, he's learning from the Ulam. Rabbi Yehuda, mi Pesach Shel Ulam Gavar. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda is learning from the Ulam. So this was the basis of Rav's understanding of his interpretation of the Machlokes in Yehuda and Rabbanan. And that left us with a kasha. If he learns from the Ulam, how can he clearly say that it may be up to 50 amas high, which is higher than the Ulam? V'lohi, says Rav Chizda, the correct version is actually different. Rav Yehuda's perspective is not based on the Ulam. V'lohi, Rav Yehuda Pisler de Malachim Goma. He is sourced from the Pesach. He's based on the entranceway to the Malachim, these grand openings, and these grand entranceways to the palaces and these mansions of the kings, which were made very tall, very big, and very wide. So it's unrelated to the Ulam. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, kings, they build their palaces with very broad and tall and wide entranceways. Apparently, it's customary. It's considered to be normative to have such great grand openings, and they are indeed considered halachically as a Pesach. So that explains how come Rabbi Yehuda allows a Pesach to be up to 50, and as Bar Kapara says up to 100, which seems to be basically unlimited. So this is Rav Chizda's perspective. So Tosfos Rosh says that we find specifically by Hashverish that the term Pesach, Noichach Pesach Habayis, that the entranceway to his palace was referred to in the Pasuk as Pesach. So you see that halachically speaking, their entranceways, as grand as they are, have a legal status of a Pesach. So again, Rav Chizda's approach is that Yehuda is unrelated to Ulam, rather, from Pesach of Malachim, does he deduce his halacha? Says the Gemara, V'Rabbanan. Let's go back to the Rabbanan. Where did they derive their Shita? From the Hechel. Imi Pesach Shal Hechel Gamriri. If they learn from the Hechel, Libot Lasais. They should require having doors, actual doors, affixed to the opening of the Pesach, in order for it to be considered a Pesach. Libot Lasais Gehechel. Just as the Hechel had doors. How do we know that it is considered to be a proper Pesach without actual partitions there, without actually doors affixed there. Alomatnan. If so, how can we learn? Hechsher Mavi. What is the adjustment needed for the Mavi? We don't need doors. B'shamer Amim Lechem V'Koyro. We need a Lechi and a Koyro. So that's the side post and the crossbeam. B'Siloim Lechi Oikoyro. One or the other. We don't need doors. Why not? If we want to learn from the Hechel, learn all the way. Says the Gemara, Dalsos Hechel. Let's need Ba'alma. Who Davidan? The doors, which were present by the entranceway of the Hechel, they weren't there to be used as partitions, to block out traffic, to contribute to the enclosure, which would lead us to think that perhaps doors are actually needed to attain a proper enclosure. Rather, the doors there were merely litznius ba'amah, to afford privacy, to prevent others from looking into the heichal. So it was for a totally different reason. It was based on a totally different interest, unrelated to the halachic status of a Pesach. Therefore, certainly, it's not a requirement to have doors affixed to your Pesach. Continues the Gemara with another kash. Elamiata. If we learn from Hechel, let's see Hanei Litzuris HaPesach. The Mishnah tells us that when a door, when an entranceway is too wide, it's possible. It's wider than Tanamis. The Mishnah says it's possible. But if there's a Tzuris HaPesach, so it's that structure which resembles a doorway, two poles on either side, one pole going across, that is considered to be like a partition, like a full enclosure, and that works regardless of the width of that opening. Now, if we learn the concept of a Pesach from Hechel, how can you allow the Tzuris HaPesach to accommodate a very wide opening? Because we find that the Hechel did feature a Tzuris HaPesach. It had a proper doorway structure. Nevertheless, they only built it 10 amas wide. Now, if a Tzuris HaPesach can be effective even on a much larger, wider opening, they should have built it wider. Taisa said they should have built it as wide as the Ulam, which was 20 amas wide. So apparently, to attain the true status of a Pesach, you cannot build it wider than 10, regardless of the presence of the Tzuris HaPesach. So the Kasha in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Elamiata, this is the case that we're meant to learn from Hechel. Look to Hanali Tzuris HaPesach. Then the Tzuris HaPesach should not be effective for a wide entrance. Doha, Hechel, Tzuris HaPesach Chavilei. The Hechel certainly featured a Tzuris HaPesach, afilu achi, even so, Eser Amis, Hudu Revi'ach. It was only 10 Amis wide. Alom Etnan, if so, how can we learn to now Mishnah? Im Yesh Le Tzuris HaPesach. If this entranceway featured a Tzuris HaPesach, Aval Pisha Rochav, Me'eser Amis, even if it's wider than 10 Amis, Eino Yitzorach Lamait. You don't need to minimize the width. Says the Gemara, Midi, Hu Tamal Rav. Isn't our discussion merely relating to Rav? You're right. Rav indeed disputes this halacha. He holds that halachically speaking, a Tzuris HaPesach does not accommodate a wide entranceway, just as the Hechel. Hamasni Rav Yehuda lechiya barav. Rav Yehuda taught chiya barav, chiya the son of Rav, kamei the Rav in the presence of Rav. He taught him as follows: that if there's a Tzuris HaPesach featured in this entranceway, in the Tzuris HaMayit, he does not need to minimize the width, because the Tzuris HaPesach compensates for the width. V'ar Malay, and Rav responded, when he heard this halacha, he said, no, it's incorrect. He said to Rabbi Yudah, Esnai, teach him properly. Tzorech l'mait. Yes, he does have to make that entranceway smaller, because even a Tzuris HaPesach, which is present at an entranceway, does not allow that entranceway to be wider than 10 amis, just as we find by the Hechel, where despite the fact that there was a Tzuris HaPesach there, it did not accommodate an entranceway which is wider than 10 amis. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah, which told us that one cannot carry in a mavoi in this alleyway, which is technically a Rosh HaSayachat. One cannot carry within it unless they applied some sort of physical hechsher, physical adjustment, lechi, koira. And the Tanakhama maintained that a koira cannot be above 20 amis. Rav Yehuda says it's okay to be above 20 amis. The Mishnah concluded that if it's wider than 10 amos, it's considered a pirtzei, a breach, does not constitute an entity of a Pesach. He must make that width smaller, narrower. If there's a Tzuris HaPesach, which is a physical structure which resembles a doorway, then regardless of its width, it is kosher. The Gemara proceeded with explaining the Shita of the Chachamim, who give us a maximum height of 20 amis? Because they learn from the Pesach of the Heichal. The Torah relates to the entranceway to the Heichal with the term Pesach. And therefore, we're meant to learn from there the proper dimensions of a halachically valid entranceway. So it needs to be a maximum of 20 amis high and 10 amis wide. Rabbi Yehuda learns from the Pesach of the Ulam. And just as the Ulam was 40 amis high and 20 amis wide, so too, a standard Pesach can have those dimensions. So this is the approach of a Rav. Rav Chizda says no. Rav Yehuda does not learn from the Pesach Ulam. Rather, the Pesach Shemalachim is his source, the entranceway to those palaces, which were very high and very wide. There's actually no limit to the dimensions of entranceway. Now, regarding an entranceway which has a Tzuras HaPesach, which is a physical structure resembling a doorway, a post on either side, a pole running across the top, according to our Mishnah, that Tzuras HaPesach will accommodate even a very wide entranceway, because that Tzuras HaPesach is considered like a partition, as if it's actually closing off that doorway, and it's certainly creating that separation between the Mavay and Shisrabim. Whereas according to Rav, who learns from the Heichal, even a Tzuras HaPesach will not accommodate for a very wide entranceway. It will only work for a Pesach which is 10 amis or less.